This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, October 17th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Trump's beef magic. More tariff votes coming in the Senate, and Food for Peace may ramp up soon. Trump, we've got a deal to cut beef prices. President Donald Trump claims his administration has found a way to cut retail beef prices, but it's not at all clear what he has in mind. We are working on beef. I think we have a deal on beef that's going to bring the price of beef down, he told reporters. That would be one product that we would say is a little bit higher than we want. We did something. We worked our magic. Keep in mind, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has ruled out paying producers to rebuild cattle herds, but she said she and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum would have an announcement this month on, quote, opening up more working lands. Economists say they expect cattle producers to start expanding without government intervention. Senator Kaine, more tariff votes likely next week. Virginia Democrat Senator Tim Kaine tells AgriPulse that the Senate will likely vote on the Brazil and Canada tariffs next week. Kaine, who is co-leading both tariff challenges, said yesterday it's going to be before October 31st, adding, quote, it's likely to be next week. Kaine said the votes to overturn the underlying emergency declarations used to impose the tariffs could happen the same day or in subsequent days. AgriPulse reported that multiple farm state lawmakers raised their tariff concerns with the administration earlier this week. Kaine says rural state lawmakers could flip their votes. The first Senate vote on the Canada tariffs saw the resolution pass with four GOP backers. Kentucky's Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, Alaska's Lisa Murkowski, and Maine's Senator Susan Collins. Kaine says the price effects of tariffs are only increasing. If we had four Republican votes before the pocketbook effect, I think we'll likely have more, he said. Take note, the effort isn't going anywhere in the House anytime soon. Republicans there voted to block future tariff challenge votes until at least the end of January. Trump and Putin talk post-war trade. President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke by phone yesterday discussing post-war trade between the two countries and agreeing to a future meeting. Trump said the call was productive in a Truth Social post. The two, quote, spent a great deal of time talking about trade between Russia and the United States when the war with Ukraine is over, Trump added. U.S. ag exports to Russia totaled $100 million in 2024, down from $143 million before the 2022 invasion. 2024 exports were mostly prepared food products. The pair also agreed to a second meeting to discuss peace options, Trump said, this time in Hungary. Take note, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky will be at the White House today, where the Putin call and the potential Hungary meetings are certain to come up. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Vilsack, farmers will need new markets after the trade war. U.S. soybean growers may never get back the market share in China they lost in the latest trade war and may need to look elsewhere for sales, according to former Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. Speaking on this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers, Vilsack says China built a relationship with Brazil that's not going to change. They're not going back to the United States immediately. Vilsack says the challenge, quote, is figuring out what else we can do with these soybeans. What other products could potentially be produced domestically that create a larger domestic market? I'm thinking of renewable fuels. Southeast Asia could also be an important market, he says. Vilsack, who heads the World Food Prize Foundation, also talks to newsmakers about the shutting down of USAID, moving the Food for Peace program to USDA, and competition issues in agribusiness. This week's newsmakers will be available today at agripulse.com. Senator Moran, State Department to ramp up Food for Peace. Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran says State Department officials tell him they soon will direct the Agriculture Department to scale up Food for Peace program purchases. I had a conversation with State Department officials this morning, Moran told AgriPulse yesterday. He said that officials told him, quote, they will not stand in the way, and they're going to give the green light at some point in time to USDA. The State Department did not immediately respond to a question from AgriPulse on when they would ramp up Food for Peace purchases. Take note, supporters of the program have lamented that purchases nearly stalled since the program moved from the shuttered U.S. Agency of International Development to the State Department. Nothing's moving, Kim Cooper, Vice President of Government Affairs for the North American Millers Association, told AgriPulse last month. Some on Capitol Hill, including Moran, want to move the program to the USDA. National Farmers Union leaders say farmers becoming more skeptical of tariff strategy. The National Farmers Union state leaders say many growers need financial aid to stay in business, and tariffs and government shutdown are not helping. Gary Wirtz, president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, said, quote, even the Trump supporters are starting to wonder, is there an end game here? It's been said a lot of times, short-term pain for long-term gain, but who's going to get the long-term gain? That's the question, he said. The shutdown is affecting farmers who need to have operating loans serviced, he and Chad Frank, president of the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, say. They were on a call with Colorado and Minnesota state officials and reporters organized by the group for the long term. Former Tennessee Ag Commissioner challenges Ogles for House seat. Former Tennessee Agriculture Commissioner Charlie Hatcher is running to unseat Representative Andy Ogles in next year's Republican primary. Hatcher, who also served for 10 years as Tennessee state veterinarian, announced a campaign for the state's 5th congressional district, which Ogles has held since 2023. Hatcher retired from his 7-year stint as Tennessee Ag Commissioner at the beginning of October. In his campaign launch video, Hatcher touts his farming background, and he praises President Trump, saying, would have been a fantastic farmer because he has that work ethic. Here's today's final word. The president's betting the farm on the use of tariffs, but he's not betting his farm on his love of tariffs. That's Gary Wirtz, president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, on a media call yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, October 17th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.